Welcome to another inspiring podcast from True North Church. We hope this message encourages and blesses you. For more information about our church, please visit truenorthak.org.
So we're in a series called Frequency on Hearing the Voice of God. And Pastor Mark said, he said in the early service, he said, God doesn't have a speaking problem, we have a hearing problem. And life probably for most of us would be a whole lot better if we heard the voice of God on a regular basis and then followed it. It was 8 years ago, I was pastoring First Assembly of God in Topeka, Kansas, and I'd been going back and forth to Haiti quite a bit. And in January of 2010, there was a tremendous earthquake, and 300,000 people were killed in Port-au-Prince, and another million plus people were left homeless. And so immediately I took doctors from my congregation and we flew over there to do what we could do. And never have I seen such devastation in my life. I came home, arranged to have some 40-foot containers delivered to our parking lot that we loaded up and shipped. And 2 weeks later, I went back to Haiti. And I was sitting in a little church, because the capital city was just in rubble, and I was sitting in this little church waiting to be introduced. And when I say a church, it was sticks and tarps is what it was constructed of. And I was sitting there waiting to be introduced when I heard God whisper 5 words into my spirit: sanctify my name in Haiti. I went home and I resigned my church. And went through a transition. We had a multiple campus church, 4 campuses, and made one of our associate pastors the senior pastor. And then I slipped away to begin to work more extensively in Haiti. Now, why was I willing to risk it all, give up my salary, give up the home that we had to move away? Why was I willing to risk it all on the whisper of that came into my spirit? And the reason I was is because over the years, I had learned to recognize that voice. I knew how to differentiate that voice over the many other voices that I could hear. In John chapter 10, verse 3, it says, "The gatekeeper opens the gate for him." Now, Jesus is teaching us here. And he says, "And the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them. And his sheep follow him because they know his voice, but they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Now, Jesus was using an illustration here that was very, very familiar to the people in that setting, in that culture. I can't say that I've ever really seen it except in film. But apparently, when the shepherds would bring their flocks to water, or they met along the road somehow, the flock of sheep would intermingle, and there would be hundreds, maybe thousands of sheep from different flocks, and they would just intermingle all over the place. But then, when the shepherd spoke, it's almost like magic. The sheep would begin to separate, and they would not follow another shepherd, but they would only follow the shepherd whose voice they recognized. And they would then just separate, and the each one would go with his own shepherd. And Jesus is telling us in this story that God is a communicating God. He speaks to his own sheep individually because his sheep know his voice. And because they know his voice, they recognize what is not his voice. And that is very, very important. Jesus said when he was being challenged in his ministry, he said, "I only say that which I hear the Father saying. I only do that which I see the Father doing." There is so much noise, clutter in our culture. And one of the most important skills that you can develop is recognizing the voice of God amidst all of the clutter of the other voices. But it is a skill. I probably use that word advisedly. It is a skill or an understanding or a recognition that has to be developed. And what we have to believe is that with 7.5 billion people on this planet, God wants to speak to you. And we have trouble wrapping our mind around this person that we refer to as God. But somehow he has the capacity to listen to every single one of us and give every single one of us 100% of his attention. In other words, when you are talking to God, when you are praying, when you are listening to his voice, you have God's full attention. Now, how God can do that, we don't know, because that's outside of our realm of understanding. Just like, how can God be in several places at once? How can God know everything? How can God be all powerful? We don't know all those things, but somehow when you speak, God can hear you and pay attention and give you his full attention. Now, there are those people who say that God no longer speaks to us individually, that he has given us his word, and he only now speaks through his word. Now, I have to tell you that I agree in a sense with that, because everything that God says to us individually has to line up with his word, or it's not God. Yeah. All right, he's not going to contradict the Bible when he speaks to you, but he will speak to you and it will line up with his word. But there is no personal relationship without personal communication. And that's what we're talking about. A theologian whose writings I love to read said this. He said, if God does not speak today, then the greatest disservice we could ever do to people is to tell them that they can have a personal relationship with God. Yep. Did you get that? I'll read it again. If God doesn't speak today, if he does not, then the greatest disservice we could ever do to people is to tell them that they could have a personal relationship with God. Yeah. Because to be in a personal relationship with someone is to have communication with them, is to be able to have some give and take, some back and forth. So I want you to go to your notes. We're going to start filling out the blanks here if you've got them and got them when you came in. But talk first of all about why God speaks. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, it says, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. So the first reason that God speaks is to facilitate friendship. To facilitate friendship. The Bible reveals God as a personal God. In Exodus 33, verse 11, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Now, early on in my ministry, I was intrigued by this idea of being a friend of God. As a matter of fact, the first sermon I ever preached was on being a friend of God. Because somehow that drew me. Could it be possible for somebody like me to be called a friend of God? And it was years ago, I was in my mid-20s, and I started pursuing this idea, this notion that God wanted to be my friend, and that friendship means that you spend time together. What kind of a marriage would Karen and I have if I spent 99% of my time in Haiti by myself and 1% of the time in Fairbanks with her? To have a friendship, there has to be proximity. There has to be communication. You want to be together. And so as I read the Bible, I learned that God wanted a personal relationship with me. Wanted to spend time with me. So not knowing, being sophisticated about things. I wasn't a pastor in those days, and I was a musician actually, and so I began to go out for walks. I take my dog. We lived in Tulsa, Oklahoma at the time, and I would go out. There's fields behind our house, and I would go out and walk, and I would say, and I did this every day, and I would say, "Now, Lord, I'm not here to ask you for anything. I'm not here to tell you anything. I'm just here to be with you because your word says that you want my friendship. If you want to speak to me, that's your business. If you don't, I'm here, and I'm here to be with you." And then I would walk. My dog would chase rabbits. And you know, my mind, you know, like probably yours, would go off a million directions, try to pull it back, say, "Lord, I'm here to be with you." And I would just walk and just to be with God. And it actually took several weeks and maybe months before I began to recognize the voice of God. But what happened first was interesting because, you know, if you had asked me when I came back from some of those walks, "Bo, what did God say to you today?" I wouldn't have been able to tell you. But somehow, I would have known that I'd been with God. Because the fragrance of heaven seemed to surround me that day. I was aware of his presence in ways that I didn't know. Other times when I came back from those walks, if you said, "Bo, what did God say to you today?" I would have been able to tell you what God spoke to. I remember the day I was out there walking in that field and just saying, "Okay, God, I'm just here to be with you. I'm not here to ask you for anything. I'm not here to tell you anything. I'm just here to be with you." So I wasn't even really praying. And God showed me into his love. And it takes longer to tell it than it took to happen, but it was like the veil was pulled aside and I saw into his love. And I'm a young man in my mid-20s, and I broke down and wept out there in the field. And it just as quick as the curtain pulled away and I saw into his love, it like closed again. And that's not even, you know, I'm trying to describe an intangible in tangible ways. But it impacted me profoundly and understood the love of God in an instant like I never had before. So God speaks to us to facilitate friendship. Secondly, God speaks to give guidance. Proverbs 3, verse 6, "Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track." Boy, you can count on that. You see, the Bible tells us about God that he can see the end from the beginning. So he knows what is coming on down the road. He knows what lies ahead. He knows where he wants to take you. And we could save ourselves a lot of grief if we would simply trust him and trust the guidance that he gives. So he speaks to give guidance. Thirdly, God speaks to provide perspective. Amen. How many of you know that what you see is not all there is? Right. As a matter of fact, the more powerful things in our lives are the things we don't see. Amen. Like if someone has a strong willpower or a drive to accomplish something, we can't see the drive, but we can see what it accomplishes. If someone has a dream and they're working toward a dream, you can't see the dream, but you can see the outcome of it. Right. It is what happens in the invisible world that affects the visible world. And God has that perspective and we don't. That there is more going on around us than we can see. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, it says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." One of the most difficult things for people is to lose someone they love. And especially if it's a child or a spouse. You know, and people want to say, "God, why? Why could you allow something like this to happen?" And lots of people walk away from God in circumstances like that. But Isaiah 57, verse 1 and 2 says, "Good people pass away. The godly often die before their time. But no one seems to care or wonder why." In other words, they can't see. No one seems to understand that God is protecting them from the evil to come. "For those who follow godly paths will rest in peace when they die." You know, we walk by faith and not by sight. By sight, everything could seem dark. And yet we trust him because he has a perspective that we don't have. I heard the greatest illustration on this week. It seems that the Wisconsin Badgers, a football team, was playing, and they were losing horribly. And it seemed every time there was a bad play, the fans were cheering as if they were winning. And it kind of confused the players, and as the story goes, it happened that the Milwaukee Brewers were playing at the same time, and they were winning. And a bunch of people at the Badgers game had their earbuds in and were listening to the Brewer game, so that when the Brewers scored, they would cheer. And maybe the Badgers had just fumbled the ball, and their fans are cheering. But what those fans in the stands, listen to this, they were looking at defeat, but they were listening to victory. They were looking at defeat, but they were listening to victory. That's why it's so important for us to hear the voice of God.
That's right.
Because he's got a perspective that we don't have. God is not going to speak defeat into your life or discouragement. He's going to speak victory into your life. And stuff might be dark around you, but if you'll listen for his voice, you'll get another perspective. You see, God wants us to put listening ahead of seeing. We walk by faith and not by sight. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10, however, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But, what does Pastor Mark say at this point? Conjunction, junction, what's your function? Yeah. But, hey, I listen. You tell Pastor Mark that, okay? That I listen when he's speaking. But, okay, I'm going to start over. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit.
Good.
You know, when I was a kid, I used to hear that first part of that, well, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived. You know, you just can't know what it is that God's going to do. But the verse doesn't end there. It says, but God has revealed them to us. God is a communicating God. And all of the time, I believe that God is speaking. And he's communicating to you. And we have to tune in to hear what he is saying. God wants you to respond not just to what you see, but to what he speaks. So we talked about why God speaks. Let's talk about how God speaks. And our title today is The Whispers of God. When God speaks, what does it look like? And there are many ways. We're going to talk about one way, but there are many ways God speaks. God speaks through prophets. God speaks through his word. God speaks through circumstances. God speaks through pain. Love the C.S. Lewis quote where he says, God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pain. Sometimes when there's pain in our lives, that's when God is speaking to us very, very loudly. But so there's many ways, but we're going to talk about the most common way that God speaks, and that is in a whisper. And the background of this scripture that we're going to read in a moment is the story of Elijah. Elijah was an Old Testament prophet and lived in a fairly dark time in Israel. And he took on 450 prophets of Baal and called down fire from heaven. It's a great story on Mount Carmel. And won a great victory over the prophets of Baal. But there was this queen in the land by the name of Jezebel. How many of you heard that name? And Jezebel swore to take Elijah's life. And so he runs. and he runs for his life. If you read the scripture, you can see that he ends up in a depressed and defeated state, even though he's won a victory, because Queen Jezebel is after his life. And God eventually takes him to a mountain, and that's where we're going to pick up the story. The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper, or the old King James Version said, a still, small voice. The way that God speaks to us most often is in a whisper. And one of the reasons so many of us don't hear the voice of God is because we have filled our lives with so much noise. I've been in many homes where the television is on just about 24/7. And people say, well, I like the company it gives. They like the noise, the background noise. And I'll tell you, I think it's difficult to hear the voice of God when there's other voices speaking. And that we have to create an environment, we have to create a place where God can speak to us. So what kinds of things might we hear when God whispers to us? And again, in your notes, number one, he whispers encouragement. He whispers encouragement. Take that from Romans chapter 8, verse 16. It says, the Holy Spirit speaks to us deep in our heart and tells us that we are God's children. I traveled for a while as a musician with a world-renowned evangelist. And he would say, he's kind of famous for saying, I know that I know that I know that I know. And sometimes when you have to give a defense for what you believe, like, how do you know you're saved? And you say, well, I know that I know that I know. Something happened when I prayed that prayer and asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart, and I just know. Deep down in my heart, I know. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit speaks to us deep in our hearts and tells us that we are God's children. So undoubtedly, if you hear God's whisper, you're going to hear words of assurance. God says, you are my child. He sees you as part of the family. Isaiah 55, verse 3 says, pay attention. Come close now. Listen carefully to my life-giving, life-nourishing words. I'm making a lasting covenant commitment with you, the same that I made with David, sure, solid, enduring love. So I think when you hear God whisper encouragement, there are things that that would sound something like, you can do it. Don't give up. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Come on, put one foot before the other. Keep climbing. Those are the kind of encouragement, because you are his child. You are dear to him. You are beloved by him. And God sees you through a lens of not just what you are now, but he always sees you as a lens, through the lens of what he created you to be. And so the words of encouragement that come when he whispers into your heart has to do with who you are and what you can do and to keep going and don't quit.
Yep.
Secondly, when God whispers, he whispers warnings. There's a kind of a, how many of you know Christians have their own language? There are things we say, and as a preacher all my life, I've worked hard not to just speak in Christian cliches, or Christianese, as we say. But there's one phrase that we use that's good. We talk about having a check in our spirit. Anybody ever heard that before? You have a check in your spirit. What that means is you're not playing chess with God. What that has to do with is is you're going one direction and suddenly you think it was like an uh-oh or stop. No. You just feel this is not the right way. And we call it, it's a check. It just, you know, so you stop and you pay attention to that. It happened to the Apostle Paul. He says they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. So here's the Apostle Paul, the great missionary. He tries to go into Asia. At that time, we're not talking about Southeast Asia or down that part of the world. We're talking about the area that was, in the Roman Empire that's now Turkey and Syria and those areas up there or beyond Lebanon. And so he was forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word of God in Asia. So he was trying to go there, and he had a check in his spirit that the Holy Spirit said, no, don't go there. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. They were doing a good thing. They were trying to go and preach the gospel, and the Holy Spirit is saying, no, don't go there. And the Holy Spirit will do that. He'll check us. I love this scripture right here, and I'll tell you why I love it. Because, I don't know, Karen and I often say to each other, we have more faith in God's ability to lead us than we have in our ability to hear His voice. We have more faith in God's ability to get us where He wants us to go than what we have in hearing His voice. And we're continually striving to hear His voice, but you know, the scripture in the 23rd Psalm, it says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, why does the rod and staff bring comfort? You know, because, you know, he's going to pop you with that rod. Because God doesn't want us to get off the trail. Yeah. He doesn't want us to fall in the ditch. He doesn't want us to get hurt. He wants us on the pathway that leads to life and life eternal. And so he's going to use his rod and his staff. He's going to bring correction in our life. And I love that about God because I don't trust myself. That's good. But I trust him. And so when I read a scripture like that, when we're listening to the voice of God and we're headed a certain direction and we're going to do good things and we're going to do great things for God, and all of a sudden you sense that in your heart says, no, stop. You know that? The check in our spirit, what could that look like? It might be that God says to you, don't do it. You know, you're someplace, you're about to do something that's going to bring harm, and you feel that thing in your heart, and God says, don't do it. Or it might be, end the secret. In other words, maybe you have a problem with pornography or something, and it's a secret thing in your life, and you know that the power of sin is in its secrecy, and as God whispers into your heart, you might hear him say, end the secret. Find a brother. Find someone you can trust. Don't spread it to the whole church, but find one or two people you trust and say, listen, would you pray with me because I'm struggling in this area? It could be that the check in your spirit is God saying, end the secret. Maybe he's saying, get help. Maybe you're wondering how you're going to be able to continue in this marriage. How can you, is it ever going to be like you hoped it be one point? And the Spirit whispers into your heart, get help. Yeah. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. God will lead you. He'll warn you if you're getting into trouble by the whisper of his spirit. A third thing that you might hear when God whispers into your heart is that he whispers direction. Yeah. In Luke 2:27, it's an interesting story about an old man by the name of Simeon. When Jesus was born, it says that he was moved by the Spirit. He went into the temple courts. And what happened there is that 8 days after Jesus was born, his parents, according to Mosaic law, took the baby into the temple in order to present him to the Lord. And so Simeon had a promise from the Lord. God had whispered into his heart that he wasn't going to die until he saw the Messiah, the one that would come to rescue Israel. And that morning, undoubtedly, he woke up. The Bible says that he was moved by the Spirit. And he woke up that morning and there was a whisper in his heart that said, go to the temple. And he recognizes the voice and he gets up and he goes to the temple. He sees Jesus, gets the opportunity to hold him and to prophesy over him. You know, I had an experience. Talk about whispered direction. This is years ago now, but I was in Phoenix, Arizona for a conference. And it's when Karen and I were pastoring First Assembly in Topeka, Kansas. And I got up on Friday morning, the last day of the conference. And as I was praying, I sensed the whisper of God in my spirit. And I said to Karen, I said, I just sensed God say that he is going to give me a word today, that God's going to speak to me today. I just had that sense. You know, it wasn't like I had words. It was just a sense, God's going to speak to me today. And so I articulated it to Karen. And then all day long, and that last day of the conference, I was waiting and waiting and looking, is that it? And when the last speaker came, and at the end of his message, he made an impassioned plea. He talked about 13 million AIDS orphans in Africa. And he says, can't any of you do something about it? You pastors, because we were a group of pastors out there. And the moment he said that, I knew in my heart that that's what God has spoken to me in the morning. And it's a longer story, but I eventually went to Zambia and built a home for AIDS orphans. And miraculous the way that God put it together, but God has whispered in my heart in the morning, direction. He says, you'll hear something today that's going to give you an assignment. Good. And now in Zambia, there's a home for AIDS orphans outside of Lusaka. He whispers things into our heart. Acts 20, verse 22, the Apostle Paul says, and now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. There was this compulsion, there was this whisper, there was this the direction that he was hearing from the inside. So what might that sound like to you? It could sound like something like, slow down. You're running too hard. It could be, do it now. Don't wait. How many of you know God has a time? Yeah. Do it now. Or maybe it could be, take the next step. It's time to take the next step. These are things that, the directives that can come at a whisper of God. Then lastly, God whispers dreams. Job 33, 14 and 15, for God speaks again and again. He speaks in dreams, in visions, in the night. Acts 2, verse 17, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. You know, we don't want to get spooky about this. But if you read in the New Testament, you'll see plenty of times that God spoke in dreams, and in the Old Testament. And God wanted to reveal some things. And I would encourage you, don't get all goofy, okay? But if God speaks, if you have a dream, because there's a difference. There's sometimes, you know, you dream and you know it's just nonsense. But there's been twice in my life where there's been a dream, and at first I didn't know what it meant, but I just knew that it was significant, that somehow there was a prophetic part of that, and I saw then later how it came to pass. And so I want to encourage you that if God gives you a dream in the night, and you know, you know that it's significant, well, then approach somebody you trust in the Lord and say, what do you make of this? And maybe you won't be able to figure it out. I've had people come to me, Pastor Bo, you know, here's what I dreamed. What do you think it means? And I go like, I don't know. I wish I could tell you I was a Joseph and I could say, you know, or a Daniel and interpret the dreams. But, you know, sometimes if you have a dream like that and you sense that it's from the Lord and it doesn't make sense right then, just take it and put it on the shelf. Don't forget it. Write it down in your journal or something and just put it up there and eventually you will understand what it's about. But trust God. But that's one of the ways that God whispers to us. You know, when we talk about dreams, friends, listen, there needs to be a supernatural element to our living. This is not just, when we entered into eternal life, it was not just a natural life we entered into, it's a supernatural life. Yeah, we live in the flesh, we got to take out the garbage and wash the dishes. I mean, and that's just, you know, part of living, but there should be a supernatural element to our life, a partnership with God, an interfacing with the eternal. So I love about the book of Acts, there was this interfacing with after the day of Pentecost and angels came and spoke to them and the Holy Spirit spoke and there was a light from heaven and there was miracles and things that took place. And it wasn't like happening every 5 minutes, but those things did happen and we should expect a supernatural element to our lives when we walk with Jesus. Well, let me draw this to a conclusion. You know, there are three other blanks to fill in there, and it has to do with a core attitude that we should have. The first one is, speak to me, Lord. That should be our prayer. Every day of our lives, we should say, Lord, speak to me. I want to hear what it is you're saying. The second one says, I am open to hear. Lord, speak to me. I want to hear what it is you're saying. John 10, 27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. You have to practice the art of listening. And then respond, I'm eager to respond. I'm eager to respond. Lord, if you speak to me, I am going to do what you say. When God spoke to me to sanctify his name in Haiti, I responded. Because I was eager to hear his voice. I'm just going to close with a story. And then we're going to end the service and receive our offering. But I want to tell you about the story about my call to the pastorate. I never intended to be a pastor. I was in university studying music education. I was a musician. Trombone player. I was on a music scholarship and in university, and so that's started traveling in ministry when I was 20 years old as a musician. Never had anything in mind to be a pastor, and after a number of years, I was invited to come to Juneau to be a youth pastor, and I did that, but I didn't have a clue what to do. I remember my first day as a youth pastor, I sat down behind my desk, got no job description, nobody told me what to do, and I was like on my desk, okay, now what do I do? I had no clue whatsoever. And so I was there for 4 years, and then the organization I helped start, we'd open an office in England. They asked me if I would come back to England and work there. So I was in England and moved my family over. And my wife was pregnant with our third son, and we were living in a motorhome. I shipped the motorhome over for us to live in and travel in. And so I knew I'd have to make a change because three little boys and a nanny plus my wife and I in a 32-foot motorhome just wasn't going to cut it. And so I was trying to think, where am I going to settle them? Am I going to settle them in Sweden where I have family, or here in England where my wife understands the language, you know? So I decided to set aside a week of fasting and prayer. So I began to fast and pray, and the fifth day into my fast, I was out walking early in the morning, and I felt the whisper of God. And it was, you're going to go back to the States and pastor a church. Now, understand, I've never been to Bible school, still haven't been to Bible school, never been to seminary. Well, I have been to seminary since, you know, when I was 60 years old. But I just, that was not on my radar. to be a pastor. And God said, you're going to go back to the States and pastor church. I came back to the motorhome, woke up my wife 6 o'clock in the morning. And I said, we're going back to the United States and pastor church. She said, where? I said, I don't know. And so we were in the north part of England. And so we come back to our office in the central part of England. I backed the motorhome into a spot. And as I stepped out the door, one of the guys yells out the office window, hey, Bo, you got a call from Alaska. So I ran into the house. Those are the days before cell phones, you know, still. And I ran into the house and picked up the line, and it was a pastor here in Alaska. And he says, hey, he said, the Sitka Church is available. Are you interested? And I said, George, if you'd have called me a week ago, I'd have said no. But today, yes. And we ended up coming back, moved to Sitka. It's my first senior pastorate. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't have a Bible school education, but that church more than doubled, became the largest church in Sitka. Then we went to Vancouver. Vancouver started as a small church, grew to 1,200 Sunday morning attendance. Then we went to Topeka, Kansas, and that church became a multiple campus church. I planted 6 churches, and I don't have a Bible school education. Never felt qualified, never felt like I could do what it was that God was saying that I should do, but I recognized the whisper of God's Spirit. And that's what God wants to do for you. He wants to speak to you. He wants to whisper something into your heart. And it probably won't be to pastor a church. It might not be to go overseas to some mission someplace. But he's going to whisper something into your heart for which he has equipped you and which he will, his presence will go with you to do what he wants you to do. And it won't be you, but you will have a treasure in this earthen vessel that the greatness of the power may be of God and not of you. Oh, I hope you hunger. Hearing and obeying the whisper of God changed everything for me. Changed everything. That was my call. What is yours? What are you hearing? God is a communicating God, and he has a plan and a destiny for you. And the fulfillment of that plan and that destiny is dependent on you hearing the whisper of God. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, I ask you now that something in what I have said, that your Spirit would communicate to your people, that there would grow in every heart a desire to hear the voice of God, to carve out of our busy lives a space, place, a quiet where we dim every other voice so that we can tune in to hear your voice. And Lord, I pray that as many of us here at First Assembly, at True North Church would hear the voice of God, that we would see miracles start to happen. We would see ministries open up. We would see people's lives change because there's a congregation of people who know the voice of God, who are listening for it day by day in order that they might be eager to obey. I ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
We hope you were encouraged by this message. For more information and other resources, please visit truenorthak.org.